Hey, Rugby Rant fans, it's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. I'm here in Elkhorn, Wisconsin at Stillwater Coffee. I want to thank Karen and Kevin Seeger for letting us use their facility here for this special broadcast of the Rugby Rant podcast show. And we have an interview, but we're not doing a normal run, pass, or kick. We're doing a little something different called the Rugby Conversation, a little bit more casual. And I'm here with a special guest, one of the newest members of the NOLA Gold, drafted third. In the third round by NOLA, I believe, Carm, you were selected number 30th in the draft?
Yeah.
Okay. We have Carm Consolino from Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and AIC. Carm, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. It's always good. I love to catch up with young guys that are coming into the league, watch their progress and development. So, and, of course, I'm a NOLA fan, as everybody that watched the show knows. I have more gear than most of the players. This is a real casual conversation. I want fans to get to know you so that when they see you out on the pitch and when they see you with NOLA, they have a little bit more background on you and who you are and what you're about, where you come from and your rugby experiences. So I'm real glad and excited to have you. Before we get into the conversation, I also want to thank one of our sponsors, Rugby Coffee. Rugby Coffee, we are blessed to have them as a sponsor. They share the values with Rugby Rant Podcast. We want to grow rugby fans one fan at a time, and they want to grow rugby too. And so for those of you guys who enjoy coffee, enjoy good quality conversation like the one we're going to have, go find Rugby Coffee, rugbycoffee.com. They have two great North American blends, Jouer Jouer and Crowd Favorite, sold in North America. It is available right now. As a matter of fact, they're inside Stillwater brewing a little bit of a cup for us so we can enjoy some coffee and conversation. And they're wonderful in their values in that they give 10% of their proceeds back to youth rugby and youth rugby development. Remember, Rugby Coffee, it's a way of life. So we're going to get started here. And I want to start just at the basics and your beginnings. Here in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin, I call it just, a satellite of Chicago, if you will. Tell fans out there how you got started in rugby.
Well, we have a men's or not men's. We have a high school program here in Elkhorn that a lot of guys when I was growing up, sixth and seventh grade, a bunch of my friends, older brothers or people that we knew in the high school were playing rugby in the time. And it was just a good time for us to go out outside of football or, you know, wrestling because we're a big wrestling community here, you know, just to go out and have some fun and, you know, play some smash mouth rugby. And it was fun. We got a good numbers out there, probably 60, 70 guys, and just kind of just had fun. I mean, it was kind of very not structured based, a lot of, you know, more of a social type of game, but we did really truly try to make a standpoint in high school rugby, and the quality of the players that we had, just a bunch of dogs that really just, again, a bunch of wrestlers that really like to hit, and my journey kind of just started off there. And really in the beginning would have never thought rugby would have been my future here, and this many years behind now, but it's definitely, it's a growing sport here in Elkhorn still, and we try to branch off for the local communities or outside of Elkhorn, you know, for example, like Delavan and Burlington. We try to combine squads, get as many guys as we can, you know, just get the Southern Lakes community involved, and try to get rugby bigger here in the Southern Wisconsin.
Well, you know, here at the Rugby Rant Podcast, we obviously like that because, again, we like to grow rugby one fan at a time. It's certainly, you give every impression that rugby is growing in the Southern you know, Wisconsin and Lakes community area, and it's wonderful to see. And you guys kind of seem to embody the, you know, that smash mouth idea, that Midwestern variety of rugby where we're just going to go pound it and hit hard and we're going to be aggressive. So it's great to see those rugby, philosophy instilled in it. Talk about that rugby culture in this area. There's obviously some really quality men's clubs. You've got Madison is represented really well. I know as a Blaze player, former Blaze player, we used to play Wisconsin Madison, and they were a really tough program. Perennially, they were one of our fiercest competitors. And of course, there's Milwaukee. We always played Milwaukee quite a bit. You know, talk about for fans out there who may not be from the Midwest, you know, what's this, you know, Wisconsin rugby culture like?
So the Wisconsin rugby culture is, you know, I truly believe that if we really made it competitive. Wisconsin could have some really talented rugby players. And it's a very social game here in Wisconsin. Got a lot of men's clubs. Closest men's clubs to Elkhorn, which is actually our feeder program, it's actually Oconomowoc, the rugby club up there. They've always been, we had a lot of our coaches play for them in past years, or a lot of our guys outside of high school. If they're just kind of want to continue rugby, they'll go up to play for Oconomowoc. But again, with bigger teams like WRC, the Barbarians, I've played with Green Bay as well. I've kind of just played all over, roaming around. You know, in future for myself, I'd like to get a men's program started here in Elkhorn. Because again, I know I've had a lot of guys hit me up. Hey, you know, I see how far you're going. Let's try to get a club here in Elkhorn. You know, try to get it bigger here. And you know, that's all what I'm about, is trying to just engage the community. Start a youth program here in Elkhorn and playing in. If the guys want to, you know, if we can really get those guys to go out and, you know, kind of play all together on one squad, I think Wisconsin could really do some damage in the community, especially in the state. And we've kind of showed that here with Wisconsin Selects and Sevens. Mm-hmm. You know, we put a pretty good showing out, went to Nationals 2 years ago. And this year, unfortunately, fell short in the Midwest, but still put out a pretty good showing. And I'm excited for what the future's ahead.
Absolutely. I know that. There's a fierce rivalry between the Illinois Tornadoes and the Wisconsin Selects, yeah. A high school programs. They play for is it the Cody Cup?
The Cody Cup. Here and there, play down in Lamont at the Blaze Complex, and then up in Madison, Cottage Grove, played there, and then in Cedar Grove at the Chargers' home field. But it's always good fun playing against the Tornadoes, especially back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about this base of potential players to feed into. I mean, 60 or 70 kids at the high school level is an amazing group to have. I mean, you could ideally field two sides. So it really sounds like there's a lot of promise and opportunity. And I think what needs to be sold to some of these guys, they wrestled, they played football, they like contact, they like to be aggressive, is that there is the opportunity, you know, in college and after college, to engage in athletics. And I think if we sell guys on that fact, that they don't have to stop playing, you know, out of high school or college, there's a lot of opportunity to really grow the sport at the men's club level.
And I think it also with that, not just at the men's club level, you still have the opportunity to go and pursue what you want to do as a professional in rugby. You know, you have that opportunity now in the United States. I think growing up, it was, you know, a lot of guys my age or in high school, again, my team was mostly focused on, you know, football players, wrestlers, and, you know, a lot of guys that maybe didn't think that, you know, rugby could be a career for them. It could be, you know, the start of what they want to do as a professional or look at as that in the United States. So, you know, being one of the only guys, there was only a few of us that really took rugby, you know, outside of the, you know, going to college for it and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just kind of just setting that up here in Elkhorn for, you know, to show guys that, you know, you don't have to play football in college. You know, you don't have to wrestle. You know, you could, if you really love playing rugby, you know, there's opportunity out there for you to go to college, earn a scholarship, and to, you know, play the game at a professional level. And that's what it is.
Cheers. No, you're good. Thank you. Here.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Leave that for paranoid. Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
So, again, we'd like to thank Stillwater Coffee. The baristas here are just, you know, delivering our coffee outside. It's that added touch that makes such a great place to enjoy a cup of coffee and then obviously have some good rugby conversation. We really enjoy it. So thank you to Karen and Kevin Seeger again for providing us with this platform. Let's move forward and talk more about your rugby experiences as you continue to develop. You went to American International College. Folks out there know it as AIC. So talk a little bit, if you could, Carm. AIC, how did you end up there? What was your, why'd you decide to go there? How did you get attracted to, you know, from the Midwest to a program out East?
Well, I'd always looked to, in anything I was going to do for any sport, go to college in, I was looking to kind of leave the Midwest with the kind of style of rugby it was. I wanted to see something different. I wanted to play, you know, against different competition and see how the game was outside of the Midwest. And my teammate here in Elkhorn, he was fortunate enough to go to the All-American camp, and he got scouted by them and ended up going to – he was a year older than me. He ended up attending AIC before I had actually even heard of it.
Who is that?
Tristan Lind.
Okay.
Good buddy of mine. He kind of got me in the feel of it. I was looking at, you know, schools like Lindenwood, University of South Carolina, Arkansas State, some of those big schools out there. And AIC came on the radar and happened to, you know, I discovered more information about them. I realized that they had, you know, a guy that was kind of leaving, is graduating when I was entering. So I was looking for that starting role right away to get into Division One rugby. And I looked at AIC my senior year and kind of just hit up them, see what they were about. And, you know, after I did my recruitment trips at Lindenwood in South Carolina, I kind of went to AIC just as a last, you know, see how it was and see how the team was. And I just really enjoyed the team camaraderie and the talent they had. They were a big sleeping school. You know, when I went to school there, we were always called underdogs, you know, there for the grind, see how it is, you know, play against those big schools, especially in what would have been D1 college rugby. It was it's a very small program out in Springfield, Massachusetts, but it's good. It's very good rugby. I can't thank AIC enough for, you know, taking a shot on me 4 years ago and getting into what would have been my college career.
Yeah. Now, AIC, you're not the only product that AIC has put into the league. I believe there was a draftee last year that went that was drafted.
Yeah, two draftees. It was Louis Satama and Tommy Clark. Louis had gone to the Austin Gobronis and ended up finishing out with Atlanta. And then Tommy had stayed with us. Unfortunately, when Dallas had dropped out, Tommy had gotten picked up by Seattle. And they had a good season over there, rookie season.
Yeah, he got some minutes, which is always good to see. Yeah. You know, a young guy, 21, 22, getting some minutes in the league. And it was awesome. You know, you said something that struck a chord, Carm, and you talked about, you know, why you picked AIC over some, you know, obviously some really quality schools, including AIC, you know, schools that are perennially powerhouse, you know, top five, top six in the nation, Lindenwood, Ark State, et cetera. And you talked about the fact you wanted to find your spot to start right away. And I just wanted to touch upon that for a moment. For those young guys that are looking to progress and go into college rugby, I think your thought process is really something they got to think about themselves. Yeah. Like, you know, I always say this, you know, in the my son's own recruitment, you know, what do you want out of your experience? You know, do you want to start right away? Do you want to go to a school in which, you know, it's pretty deep and it might be tough, but, you know, it's going to be a really high level environment. You know, do you want to go to a social program that's, you know, you're gonna have a lot of fun, that's gonna have some rugby, and you're gonna have a lot of fun after the rugby? Or do you want to go to a program that you're gonna build that maybe has a lot of growing and building to do? So it's interesting to see that you really gave some thought to what did you want out of your experience.
So when I originally left, when I was in high school I never achieved the high school All-Americans or anything like that. And you know, I knew the next goal, you know, was trying to get that U-20s call. And I knew if I had gone to a big school, I wouldn't probably get minutes just because of the amount of talent they had and the depth that they had at those big schools. It would have been tough for me to get on the field in those first 2 years and be able to, you know, stand out. So when AIC, you know, it's Springfield isn't the best city to go to, but it is, you know, it makes you as a team work harder together. And, you know, it makes the team, you know, get closer together. And after seeing that on my recruitment trip and just, you know, meeting the guys and seeing the talent they had, I went into, on my trip, I had played in a touch session with them, and just seeing the quality of the players, I was like, you know, I could really learn here. And I had that opportunity to start right away. And, you know, that was a big thing for me, was go in there, try to make as an impact I could, you know, try to get the teams, or, you know, to nationals or to win a conference or something like that. And, you know, just keep working with them and those guys that they had. And, again, try to get AIC rugby on the map. You know, it was also part of that was, you know, I'd really like to, you know, being here in Elkhorn, you know, we're not a big known high school rugby team, especially in the state. You know, not a lot of teams, you know, may know who we are. You know, every single time I see Elkhorn rugby, where's that at? You know, I got to say it's close to Lake Geneva. Because that's where most people know where it's from. But that was kind of like my mentality is, you know, let's see what we can do with this. You know, let's see if we can compete at that high level and show these other big schools, like, you don't have to go there. You know, you can do what you want to do and go to a different school and try to compete at that top level. And that's what I, you know, wanted to think about when I, that's what it was my goal when I went to AIC, was, you know, get in there and make an impact, see if I can get that U-20s call, and go from there.
And that's awesome. It, you know, again, it really magnifies the reason why somebody goes to college and what they want out of their experience, and the fact that you're trying, you know, you want to put another college rugby program on the D1A map. And I think yourself and of course, Louis and Tommy have really done that. AIC is a well-known university for rugby, and that's great to see. And I commend you guys for, you know, having that inspiration and desire, because it that's the way rugby is going to grow. We need more programs, and we need more programs operating at a higher level, and AIC is one of those. I want to move forward in the conversation and talk about, you know, your process then from going to college to now becoming a professional, right? First of all, I want to talk about that progression. I know for those, again, that follow the Rugby Rant podcast show, they know that I'm a huge NOLA fan. And so I was really ecstatic to be able to reach out to you and have a personal conversation with you. You were drafted by NOLA. Talk a little bit about, because I know Fitz does this, he likes to get to know players. He likes to have those conversations. Talk about that process. What were those conversations like as you talked with Fitz, you know, and potentially knew that they had their eyes on you?
So I actually originally entered into the first rugby draft. What was it, last year? And Tommy and Luke and I got into it. I was just trying to throw my name in there. You know, I could have graduated early if I wanted to, the semester early, and competed in that last MLR season. But, you know, just came to, you know, I didn't get any of the calls or anything like that. And it was just, you know, telling myself, hey, you got to keep working, you know, to see how the senior year was going to go. Unfortunately, didn't get to play any games with COVID. But, and then, you know, luckily enough, you know, just working hard, trying to get as much film as I could for the season, getting that call from Fitz. And it was a good conversation. You know, it was actually him and I were playing cat and mouse that whole day. You know, he had called me, I was busy, I call him back, he was busy. And we actually finally end up getting have a phone call late in the afternoon. And, it was, you know, that's what he had told me in the conversation was, you know, I'd like to get to know you. I like to know how, you know, players are, you know, where you come from, you know, adversity that you had gone over or had to deal with in your rugby career. And conversation was, you know, just telling them where I'm from, you know, how I've had to travel a lot to find the rugby I've had to find to grow my game as a player outside of Elkhorn in the state of Wisconsin itself, you know, try to get my name out there more. And it was a good conversation. You know, him talking about, you know, and I had just gone to New Orleans for the first time in May for the CRCs. So, you know, going to the gold mine and visiting New Orleans and, you know, all the cool things that comes with the city. And, you know, it was just asking me about how, you know, same conversation we're kind of having here, you know, where you're from, stuff that you've, how was AIC and players like that. And, yeah, that's kind of just what the conversation was. And, you know, when I got the call on draft night, that's kind of where, you know, the conversation was good. He really enjoyed the person I was, personality I have, my strive to work to get better in rugby and just in anything in life. And, you know, that was the good conversation we had.
Cool. Probably you're a Green Bay fan, Packers fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
that probably didn't hurt Fitz. I mean, I know he's in the Wisconsin area and he's a big Green Bay fan. So you probably had a few conversations about, you know, what should Aaron Rodgers do?
It was, I actually had no clue that Fitz was from Wisconsin. I had heard from a couple of my teammates or coaches at the Barbos and Green Bay that Fitz was actually from Wisconsin. But that was actually the conversation I had after he had called me. I had no clue that he was from Wisconsin, you know. So once I got the call and we had talked about it more about that he had actually been from and played for Wisconsin Selects and made a big impact in this Wisconsin rugby community. It was really cool, you know, to be able to have that conversation and, you know, fill in, you know, get that opportunity with Wisconsin rugby and show that, you know, we are a force here and, you know, we can compete. And that was the whole you know, Packers, you know, a great year. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers should have been the number one player in that NFL top 100. How do you win MVP and not be number one, especially with the season he had, breaking his own records? But yeah, go Pack, go, baby.
Yeah,
well, Devontae,
you're making my partner, even though it's from New York. You know, Scott, the big guy Ferrara, he's a big Packers fan. He's an owner. I don't know how that translates to making decisions on ownership, but you know, he owns a share of stock. So you're making him cry right now. So shout out to the big guy. So I want to move forward, talk a little bit about those conversations with Fitz. Has he talked at all about what position he sees you developing and playing with Nola Gold?
So we had talked about it. You know, I had played a lot of scrum half growing up. All through Elkhorn, I was pretty much a scrum half. Played a little bit wing and fly half there, but not as much as I played nine. And with, you know, going through AIC, I really wanted to develop my game to being that utility back. It wasn't about just being a strict scrum half, strict fly half, strict fullback. You know, I wanted to be able to be good at all three of those positions. And, you know, that's kind of my mentality was, you know, if I can be good at all three of those or compete at those three positions, you know, I might be able to get some time. You know, and, you know, that's what was kind of my thing. If I can have those data utility, it might be able to get me on the field better. And that was my thing is, you know, if I can get on the field, I don't care where it is. I mean, if I had to prop, I would prop if I needed to. I mean, it really didn't matter. I tried, you know, it came from learning all the positions in the pack too. You know, what the second rows do, what the props do, flankers and eight man. You know, I kind of just tried to teach myself and at those trainings, you know, what are we doing here? You know, like, how do we get better in this? Or if I ever needed to. You know, I played hooker in sevens, you know, when we went to nationals. So I wasn't playing nine or 10, my normal positions. I kind of just did whatever I had to do to get on the field. And when I had talked with Fitz about it, you know, we had talked about, you know, a conversation we had is, what would you like to do? You know, what position would you see yourself as a professional in, you know, in the MLR? And, you know, it was still hard to tell him that, you know, what my final idea would be. You know, he had mentioned, you know, trying to get me in some positions, you know, maybe one week I'm playing 21 on the bench coming in for the backup nine, or maybe I'm playing 22 or 23 coming off the bench playing 10 or 15. So, you know, having that utility like him and I discussed was, you know, a big thing and why he had, I think he had chose me in the draft was, you know, being able to throw me wherever it was needed in any position. And, you know, that's kind of what I've done now with the Chicago Lions playing with them. It's, you know, I told Coach Graham Scott that, you know, put me in wherever, you know, wherever you need me, wherever I can be beneficial. That's kind of just how it was in the conversation, position-wise, in a sense. But, you know, it's tough designating one position for myself. I still have that conversation every day. Like, where do I want to pursue it as? And I still tell myself, like, work hard in all of them. So,
yeah, it's I think that's a lesson for young guys, right? I mean, don't lock yourself in a position. Be willing to move to different places, especially at the lowest, you know, like when you're first learning the game, even in junior high school level, because you don't push in the scrums and because there are some, some of the guys aren't as big and physical as they will be when they get to high school and obviously college, be willing to try different positions. So you can kind of see the game from some different angles, like you said, you know, whether it's hooker or, you know, flank or whatever, that gives you a little bit better idea of how the game is played and how, a little bit more expansive view of how to play the game when you get into a more natural position. And the other piece of that is the utility. I think that's one thing that Fitz and Coach Nate have always emphasized. They want to be able to, you know, take guys that are willing to play different positions. And as long as they're willing to find the field and have that flexibility, they'll find themselves at home in NOLA. So that's really good to see. I want to, before we move on, you talked about the Lions. Before we get to the Lions, because I do want that to be a topic of conversation here. Being from Elkhorn, Wisconsin, I mean, again, United States is only is that, you know, hopefully that growing sleeping giant. But it's not to the level, obviously, England and New Zealand and Wales. You know, who are some guys that you watched play rugby at the highest of levels that you really modeled your game after or really kind of said, yeah, that's a guy I love watching?
In the professional level.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of I watch a lot of rugby, a lot of international rugby, a lot of, you know, again, having that 9-10 background, 9-10-15 background. I watch a lot of Antoine Dupont, Aaron Smith, Odin Barrett, Richie Mwanga, Andre Pollard, Finn Russell, Stuart Hogg, Liam Williams, some of those guys who have really have that cap. I mean, Owen Farrell as well for England, and growing off of them and watching how they play and the style, the difference in style from the Northern Hemisphere rugby. You know, and I really couldn't even choose, you know, my profession or my favorite team in the world. Of course, you know, I probably have to say the All Blacks. But just, you know, I like to see the difference in how the gameplay is, if, you know, difference in, you know, even French rugby versus the difference in Irish rugby and the Pro 14, Top 14 Premiership, then down to Super Rugby and lower hemisphere. So it was some of those guys that just kind of just seeing how the style they had, how they set up the game, especially in the playmaking positions. And that's kind of seeing how they play, or like this, just the structure and how, you know, I'd love to be able to get in one of those like training rooms and just listen to what they talk about. You know, how do they play their strategy? How they differ between each week and different teams? You know, like I know this week, All Blacks just won last night against Australia.
You killed it. I hadn't watched the game yet. Dang it.
Yeah. And then, next week they got a big test against the Springboks that
that'll be good.
Have a really good squad that just came out with the win against in the Lions series. So, you know, that it's going to be a tough match for both squads, and it's exciting to see.
Yeah. But I think for young rugby and aspiring rugby players, one of the themes to come out of that really resonates is the willingness to be a student of the game. Don't lock yourself into a particular style, whether it's Southern or Northern Hemisphere. Be willing to sit down and watch a particular player and compare that player just in style and how they play the game to another player at the same position. And the willingness to adopt pieces from each and bring that into your own game. I think that's, again, another one of those qualities that probably shone through when Fitz and you had those conversations. And while we're on that note, I want to throw a big shout out to all the folks down there in New Orleans. Both my personal friends, you know, Benji, DJ, Dougie, Adrian, and of course, Tim Falcon and all the NOLA Gold family. Hope you guys are well, devastated by Hurricane Ida. And I hope you guys rise up like you always do and show your strength as people and your willingness to get back into regular rugby life. But, you know, my heart goes out to you guys. I wish you well. Through this very difficult time. I want to start to move forward a little bit. What are some, you talk about your gameplay. I want to ask you this, and this might be a tough one for you. What do you think your strengths of your game are that you really believe show through every time you play? And what are some of the things that perhaps you want to work on as a player when you get down to NOLA in that professional training environment?
I think my biggest attribute as a player is not anything skill wise. I think, you know, I'm very big on being coachable and learning and, you know, leadership. It's just how well you carry yourself as a person. And that's kind of big on me is, you know, how, if you can be a good person in life, I think that'll, you know, carry over in anything you do. You know, my goal every day is at least try to make somebody smile, no matter what it is. If you're giving them a compliment, if you're making them laugh, something like that, you know, just how can somebody have a better day in, you know, their life? And transitioning to rugby, you know, being coachable and being learning, I think my biggest thing is my IQ, just because I have watched so much rugby and really studied the game. You know, watching countless hours of the MLR, countless hours of international rugby league play, down to the NRL, watching, you know, actual rugby league. It's kind of just, you know, and that transitions because, you know, everything you do in rugby, if it's with rucking or if it's with tackling or you're passing, kicking, whatever it needs to be, you know, that's all fixable. And you could always get better at doing that. You know, you'll never have the best pass in the world. Yeah. You know, you're never going to be able to top Aaron Smith. And, it's if you can really grow, you know, that's why I kind of like when I was a captain at AIC, I told all my players, I was, hey, you know, really learn the game, watch rugby. And if you need help watching rugby, like, you know, let me know, because I'll show you what you need. You should look at, you know, how you watch your position, how your position works in the, you know, style of the game. And that's kind of what I feel is like my biggest thing is, you know, just having the IQ to, you know, really learn how to play like real rugby. And, you know, growing up here in Elkhorn with that smash mouth rugby, you know, I didn't learn as much as I did. And that's why I had traveled to AIC to really grow my game. And, you know, learning from those guys just in conversations that, you know, you and I are having right now, yeah, just sitting down talking about, you know, rugby and stuff like that, you know, just being a sponge. And, you know, if it comes down to, you know, skill wise, I'd, you know, probably have to say I have a pretty decent pass.
Being a scrum half, both hands, right and left.
Being a fly half or a scrum half, you got to be able to have a decent pass. Yeah. And you know, that was harped on all through college. You know, if you want to get to that next level, got to be in the hands at all times. And I would say probably my IQ, my passing, my leadership. And then what I'd really like to grow down in NOLA is just, you know, how is professional rugby played? You know, of course, watching it all these years and all that stuff, but, you know, actually being in a professional environment and learning from guys that have played, you know, some high level rugby, you know, seeing how they manage a game, how professionals, you know, play the game of rugby. And that's kind of what I'm looking forward to the most going down there. And of course, meeting all the guys and, you know, getting into it, because, you know, it's exciting, you know, playing with guys like Tom Mayer. I watched a lot of him when he played in the World 10 series. You know, he stood out to me when I was watching him play. And now, you know, meeting guys like that, my boy Andrew Guerra, you know, capped Eagle now, hell yeah. It's exciting to see him. You know, I can't wait to get down there and play with him again. And, you know, just meeting the rest of the guys and just kind of learning from them and, you know, being that sponge again and just really just keep kind of grow the game.
Absolutely. And you have some pretty good role models that you're going to be in contact with down there, having known many of them personally. I mean, you know, of course, Andy is a great dude. A friend of the show, a friend of mine, of course, Cam Dolan, obviously, you know, 54 caps as an Eagle. I mean, just tremendous. And then, you know, one of the guys I'd suggest you really talk to is Nick Meeks. He was one of the original interviews in the Run Master Kick episodes. But Nick, coming from, of course, the Olympic program, but he's one of those guys. He loves coaching young guys. He loves helping, teaching young guys. He is a utility guy himself. Hook up with Feeksy. He's a mongoose. Yep. He's a great dude.
I remember watching or, you know, competing against or hoping to compete against in college, you know. So yeah, I know he had attended Lindenwood and, you know, the squad they had. You know, it was cool watching him and seeing, you know, his game. You know, he was just a stud in college and really, you know, performed and really showed how much skill he had. And
yeah.
It's gonna be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get him and JP Eloff back, mm-hmm. and it'll be a really good environment for you to be in. We got a couple more questions for you and as we start to wrap it up. But one of the things I want to ask is, you know, you're playing with the Chicago Lions right now, as a men's club. You guys just played, as of the recording of this interview, the Detroit Tradesmen, narrow loss, I think a 2-pointer, 20-18. Was that move to train and play with the Lions a decision that you made kind of on your own? Or is that something that Fitz kind of said to you in some of your conversations? Hey, look, you want to grow this summer and be ready to be in the NOLA training environment, you know, go see Graham Scott, go play with the Lions.
So Chicago clearly has been the best Midwest squad in Midwest and for high level rugby. And, you know, living kind of close to Chicago, you know, we're an hour and a half out. I have family, you know, I grew up a good amount of my beginning of my life in Chicago, and
I knew I liked you for a reason.
So I living down there, and it was kind of just, you know, playing for Milwaukee, I'd really, truly love to keep growing Wisconsin rugby and, you know, get it to that top level like the Lions.
Yeah.
You know, and the Lions, you know, when you – Lions are so well known, you hear the statement, oh, yeah, we played the Chicago Lions. Oh, you know, so you know they're a decent squad. And, you know, I've always been in pursuit, you know, of trying to get better at rugby no matter what it is. And no offense to any of my Wisconsin boys, any of my coaches, Milwaukee, WRC, Green Bay, but I think just the level of talent level and the quality of rugby is just better down there. And, you know, the conversation I had with Fitz, you know, he had asked me, like, what are your plans to do for the fall? And, you know, I was debating to either go play with Milwaukee or Madison or, you know, Chicago was on the front mind because, you know, they had just won that national championship in sevens. And yeah. I had gone and played sevens down there two summers ago for a couple weeks just to see how I feel. And it didn't work out with the drive and how busy I was at the time. So I ended up playing with Wisconsin and actually Milwaukee at the time. And it was just the conversation Fitz and I had. It's, you know, after seeing all my options, you know, I'm 45 minutes away from Madison. I'm 45 minutes away from Milwaukee. Chicago's really not that far of a drive, especially if you can make it with no traffic. It was, you know, the opportunity, you know, if I want to be a professional rugby player, you know, Chicago was the place to set yourself up for, you know, to get prepped for the MLR. And of course, the amount of talent and MLR players that they have come through their program, like Nick Feeks and JP Eloff, some of those guys, I just knew that, if I want to keep growing, and it was a good step. And unfortunately, with the unlucky loss yesterday, it still didn't change the quality of rugby. I still think we played an unbelievable game. I still think we're just going to, this is just a start. It was week two yesterday. Like Coach Scott saying, we just got to get better. Not I or anybody like that. We as a team just got to keep growing. And I think we're going to have a really successful season. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen forward. Can't wait to get those other draft picks up here from, NOLA to come play with us in Chicago. And, they're going to love the city. Chicago's a great place. It's just, it's good time. And you're just going to keep getting better.
So I'm going to fire some quick ones at you. So looking for some quick responses here. And I want you to be able to throw some shout outs, because you talk about your boys, people from the Southern Wisconsin area. Who are the mentors that have helped you develop? So throw some shout outs here.
I can't think enough of my boys at AIC, Maddie Jones, Jahad Kabir, Nick Franklin, Christian Ortega, Tommy Clark, Louis Satama. I really can't even think of the amount of guys, Daryl Bagley, Kyle Brown, Kyrie McFarlane, Igor Swarovska, just a bunch of my boys at school, Sulu Scrivens, all my boys. We grew together. We just grinded together. And, I can't think enough of them. I can't think enough of Cole Koopman up in Green Bay. He's been a big part of me ever since when I was in high school playing selects, growing with him. Marcus Satavu New Haven? Yeah, New Haven, Connecticut. After I met Marcus last year around this time, I could definitely tell him and I were similar. And, he pushed me at that time. I was out of rugby. COVID was, pushing everybody. I was like, man, do I just want to keep working? Do I just want to play? And, Marcus gave me that push to, hey, I see a lot in you and I think you can do it. And, him pushing me like that was good. And I would say probably my coach T Fletcher at AIC, my former coach Rob Guyrie. I can't shout out them enough for helping me get into where I am today. And then of course my selects coaches, Fran Brunette, Ed Borowitz, some of the guys, Zach Albert, that gave me a shot, years ago. That starting with them and my teammates, all my boys in Wisconsin, Matt Drzewiczki, Robbie Sindick, Dan Petty, Luke Hendricks, Luke Ellis, Kevin Schmidt, some of those guys, we grind and, that's the mentality we got and just can't thank those guys enough.
Awesome. So, you talk about all those names, name one guy down in NOLA that you're looking forward to playing with or learning from or, practicing with. Who's that one guy that sticks out?
Well, I'd say Carl Mayer. Watching him and seeing how he plays and standout that he is, being starting 15 for NOLA. Of course, playing, I have to say Cam Dolan too, just because the experience and everything that he has behind him. But really growing from those guys and learning from them, I think, especially in the positions that I play, learning from Carl, it'll be a good opportunity for me to really, show how the game is supposed to be played in the MLR.
Absolutely. So, one last question for you here, Carm. As we head into the close, let me just throw this in the back of your mind. We always like our guests to be able to, throw a shout out to somebody or throw out a shout out to a charity or some kind of organization that's near and dear to their heart. So I'll ask you about that here in a moment. But, what are some things that excite you about going down to NOLA? And maybe first touch upon have you had conversations about when you plan on going down? I know they're going through some, some
rough
difficulties,
times,
rough times right now. So it might be a little while, perhaps longer than planned, but what's the kind of the timetable? And again, who do you look, what excites you about going down there?
I'm having a conversation with myself and I look myself every day in the mirror. What do you want to achieve today? How can you get that 1% better every day? And, unfortunately with the timetable, I was hoping to be down there in NOLA already. Again, with a beautiful Labor Day like this, not that bad being at home either.
The weather's brilliant right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's great. And I was probably planning on going down to NOLA the end of the month here in September, maybe the last week. I'm still waiting to call for Fitz, talk with him on more logistics and details. about, I know me and the other draft picks are trying to get down there at the same time, you know, learn, meet those guys formally and, you know, play with them and, you know, get to see how NOLA and maybe playing a social manager here and there. And I'm just really excited to get onto that professional level. You know, I've told myself ever since I was a little boy, playing four sports at a time, hey, you know, rugby at the time wasn't even in the picture. And I was just like, hey, I want to be a professional. Like, I want to make it and, you know, get drafted and have that all cool thing. So, you know, I'm just excited to make that next step and really just keep growing my game, you know, using it as a stepping stone, you know, hopefully in time get, you know, get an Eagles cap or, you know, playing a Rugby World Cup or playing in the Seven Series or something like that. Something cool to keep growing my game and become more of, you know, a standout and, you know, over time being, you know, in 4 or 5 years really being, you know, hopefully helping NOLA get to that MLR championship. And that's really what it is getting down there and grinding, you know, with the boys and, you know, cause I'm all about teammates. You know, we can push each other to get better. I truly, you know, nothing's going to stop us. And, you know, that's how I feel with NOLA. And I think they got unbelievable talent there. They work extremely hard, even seeing them when they play in the MLR, you know, like, you know, NOLA's a tough team and the high quality rugby they play down there. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to learn. I'm excited to get better, play with a bunch of high quality players. So, you know, compete for jobs. You know, I might go down there, you know, and see if I can hopefully get on the squad.
Absolutely. And I think a couple things that, again, I like to provide tidbits for young players, and Carm hit upon some really important pieces. And that's kind of setting some long-term and short-term goals, you know, getting down there, being a professional, being able to be a sponge. You talked about it earlier. It's a phrase that Fitch uses a lot. And then, of course, you know, the potential of, you know, trying to raise your game to the point of being selected, and whether it be sevens or 15s, have those long and short-term goals. How are you going to grind and get them done every day? How are you going to work towards those long-term goals? What are you going to do this week, this month, this season in order to help the progression towards a long-term goal? Before we close it out and ask Carm about maybe a little shout out or something that's important, some people or something that's important, I might want to just plug real quick another sponsor, Tighthead Brewing. Tighthead Brewing is Chicago's premier location to watch and enjoy quality ales and lagers and watch quality rugby in Mundelein, Illinois. Brewster and his staff do a great job. They have a lot of different variety of quality ales and lagers that you can enjoy year round. And of course, you can go there to watch. We're watching actually the day after USA and Canada played a match there in Newfoundland, I think St. John's. Unfortunately, for the United States, they lost, but they'll come back here next week at Rugby Town. But you can catch all the fall internationals there. You can catch the Women's World Cup there. You can catch, we talked about sevens, Premier Sevens. You can catch them there and enjoy with your friends and family and teammates. Again, good rugby. Great beer. Check out Tighthead Brewing there in Mundelein, Illinois. So a shout out to Bruce and his staff. They do a great job at their tasting room. So we're going to close it out here, Carm. Anybody you want to throw a shout out to here quickly at the end or organization that's important and near dear to your heart?
I would like to shout out, of course, AIC Rugby, Wisconsin Selects Rugby, Wisconsin Rugby, Chicago Lions, you know, NOLA Gold. I'd like to just shout out all those programs, you know, because it's tough, you know, being a small town kid here in Elkhorn. You know, we only got a population of about 9,000 people. So, you know, it's not that often you get an opportunity to do what you want to do in your life and what you love to do, especially. And you know, I just want to shout out the community and shout out, you know, Elkhorn itself, you know, helping me and all my coaches here and all my teachers, mentors. Over my time here and all my friends, you know, for pushing me to what I want to do. You know, I always get the question, you know, what is rugby? What is professional rugby? And, you know, it's time to show here in Elkhorn, you know, what it is and see if we can get it better. And just a message to, you know, to anybody in life, to the kids, no matter how old you are, no matter what you want to do in life, you know, always be humble, you know, work hard. Strive to be great in anything you want to do. You know, you don't have to be a professional athlete. If you know, if you want to do something with your job or, you know, your relationship, whatever thing you need to do, you know, try to be that better person of your day. You know, try to be that coachable, be that sponge, be that person that people want to be around to grow and get better with. And, you know, that's important, what, you know, it help you in your life and what you want to achieve. So shout out to everybody. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for having me on here.
No worries. It's a pleasure. I'm glad you made time for us at the Rugby Rant Podcast, and hope to see great things from you this next season in 2022, of course, from, you know, a NOLA Gold fan himself, probably the biggest one in northern climates, north of NOLA. Carm, thank you very much for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Sit down over a cup of coffee and enjoy some rugby conversation. And again, a reminder, we have new episodes coming out on Mondays with a Run, Pass, or Kick interview. On Thursdays, of course, with our regular Rugby Rant. We're going to have some great guests coming up. And once again, like, follow, and share the Rugby Rant Podcast show. And again, I want to thank Stillwater Coffee and Karen and Kevin Seeger for allowing us an opportunity to share some conversation here at Stillwater Coffee. So thank you very much. It's always a pleasure, Carm. Good luck to you, sir. And we will see everybody at the next.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.